If you have a King James Bible, let's read together in unison, reading from John chapter number 3, verse number 7. And let's read together, shall we? Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Since it's so short, let's read it one more time, shall we? Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for church. We thank you for the Word of God. Now, dear God in heaven, please bless this message. Bless the Word of God as it's preached and taught. And thank you for these folks. I pray for those, again, that are sick, those who are traveling, those who are away. I pray that you watch over and bless them, those who are working, have to work. And please meet with us, dear Holy Spirit of God, now. Speak to our hearts about this, probably one of the most important subjects we'll ever discuss, is the birth, the new birth, salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John chapter number 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now here's Nicodemus trying to butter Jesus up a little bit, tell him how good he is, you know. Can you imagine trying to tell God how good he is? Huh? And so that's what he's trying to do. He says, you know, you're doing miracles. You're such a good teacher. And instead of thanking Nicodemus, Jesus gets right to the heart of the matter. He says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we didn't say that. We didn't write that. I didn't write it. Jesus said that, amen. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, if you were here in the adult Bible study, we talked about the Word of God being likened to milk and meat, the sword. Jesus tells us, the Word of God tells us that God says that we ought to eat the Word of God in Jeremiah 15, in Ezekiel chapter 3, in Revelation chapter number 10, that we ought to eat the Word of God. The Word of God is likened to a hammer in Jeremiah 23. It's likened to a looking glass, which is a mirror in James chapter number 1. It's likened to water in John chapter number 4 that we're about to read this morning. It's likened to being a seed in 1 Peter that we're going to read this morning. It's likened to being to honey in Psalm 19, in Psalm 119. The Word of God is likened to be bread in John chapter number 6. The Word of God is likened to be fire in Jeremiah chapter 23. To be a lamp in Psalm 119. To be a light in Psalm 119 and 2 Peter chapter number 1. I mean, this is what the Word of God describes itself as. And there's many other characteristics of the Word of God. But it's very interesting here that Jesus said in verse number 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, if Jesus said you must, you and I better figure out what it is. We better not leave this to chance or hope or guesswork. We better figure out exactly what Jesus said being born again means. Take your Bible, please, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I remember when I got saved, I started witnessing to a family relative. And he said, I never heard of being born again, born again. All of a sudden now everybody's talking about being born again. Well, it's not my fault that the Catholics don't teach about being born again, or the Orthodox don't teach about being born again, or the Presbyterians don't teach it, or the Episcopalians don't teach it, or the Lutherans don't teach it, or even some Baptists don't teach it. I'm just telling you, Jesus said you must be born again. And if Jesus said you must be born again, then we better figure out what being born again means. And we have, thank God, we have a definition in the Word of God, in 1 Peter chapter number 1 here, what being born again is and what it means and how you are born again. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 23. Here's how you're born again. 1 Peter chapter number 1, I want you to read it with your God-given eyeball. Verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, you and I All of us in this room have inherited a corruptible seed from our fathers. The reason you're going to die is because you're a sinner. And the reason you're a sinner and you're going to die is because your father's a sinner and he's going to die if he hasn't died already. The reason he's going to die and the reason he's a sinner is because your grandfather, his father, was a sinner and he's going to die or he's already died. And it goes all the way back to Adam when Adam rebelled against God, disobeyed God, and Adam sinned, and the curse of God came upon all of mankind. And so God cursed Adam and his seed all the way down to us. You have to remember, when God made Adam, God made him without sin, without error, perfect. He was not supposed to die. Adam was supposed to live forever. And he said, in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what God told Adam. Adam disobeyed God. He sinned. The curse fell on mankind, and he died later on as a result of his sin against God. And that seed that Adam had in him was cursed, and that corruptible seed now is passed on to all generations down to 2016 to you and I. So you and I are going to die one day because you and I were born of corruptible seed, the seed of each of our fathers. You understand that? It's very easy to understand. But if you're going to live an eternal life, in eternity, you need an incorruptible seed that doesn't die. A seed that's not sinful. A seed that comes from God. So Jesus said you must be born again. So there has to come a time in a person's life, there has to be a spiritual birth, a rebirth, where it's not from the earth, it's from above. It's not from a physical birth of water. It's a spiritual birth from heaven. And that spiritual birth can only come from the Word of God alone. Because this is the seed. As we mentioned, the Bible is called the seed in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in the Gospel of Luke. The Word of God is the seed. So as we read this, pay attention to what he says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, watch this, not of corruptible seed. That's a seed that you and I already inherited. Watch this. But of incorruptible, and he explains by what incorruptible seed it is, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, he doesn't say you need to be born again from a church, from a religion, or denomination, because none of that's going to save anybody. Your good life, your good works, whatever money you give is not going to save you or anybody else. You need an incorruptible seed to save your soul. And for me, it was November 1978 when I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. I was 21 years old, on my way to hell, deserving to go to hell to pay for my sins. I don't know when you got saved, but you got saved if you're saved because you asked Jesus Christ for mercy to save your soul and you found out from the Word of God that you needed salvation. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God in three different places. Capital W. In John chapter number 1, in 1 John chapter 5, and Revelation 19, Jesus is called the Word of God. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, what you are doing, you are receiving the Word of God to save your soul. Because that's what it says here. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, that means without corruption, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Take your Bible, please turn with me to James chapter number 1. James is right after the book of Hebrews. James, chapter number 1. People today are very ignorant of the Word of God. Doesn't mean they're stupid. It just means they don't know what the Word of God says because they were not taught. Either they were not taught at home, they were not taught at church, they were not taught in school, they were not taught anywhere else. But salvation only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. In James, chapter number 1, verse number 21, I want you to read this. I want you to read what God says. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. That's a written word. right? And grafted, right? Which is able to save your souls. Did you read that? So the engrafted word that you're supposed to receive with meekness is what is able to save your soul. You realize a pastor can't save your soul. A priest can't save your soul. A church can't save your soul. Baptism can't save your soul. Your good works can't save you. The money you give cannot save you. You cannot buy salvation. Salvation is a free gift, the Bible says, and it only comes from realizing that we're sinners deserving hell. Let me ask you a question. Where are you going to go when you die? Where are you going to go when you die? Can you remember asking Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell? If you were to say, Pastor, I'm not that bad, you're on your way to hell right now and don't even know it. So, well, I've never done anything bad enough to go to hell, then you're on your way to hell right now without even knowing about it. So, well, you know, I've been baptized. If that's your answer, you're on your way to hell right now because baptism won't save you. Your baptism, this baptism, no baptism will save you. So, well, I haven't hurt anybody. I haven't lied. That's a lie right there because God says all have lied. We've all sinned. And your sin has to be paid for. And the only way it can be paid for is the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. We all die because we're all sinners. We're all sinners because we have all inherited our own father's seed, which they inherited from their father's seed, which they inherited from their father's seed, all the way back to Adam, who sinned. So salvation is not in a religion. Salvation is not in a church building. The salvation is only found through the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, either Jesus is the Son of God who told us the truth, or he's the biggest liar that ever lived. You're going to have to make a decision. Is Jesus the Son of God, or is he a liar? Is he just a good moral teacher? If that's true, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means you can't go through Muhammad, cursed be his name. You can't go through Buddhism. You can't be a Hindu. You can't be an atheist. You can be a Baptist and still die and go to hell. It ain't going to save you. You can be a member of every single church in town, but it ain't going to save you. You can be baptized in every single baptistry in town. It ain't going to save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sin, took your place on the cross so that you wouldn't pay for your sin and go to hell. Hey, Messiah, sit down, sit down. When we're done, you get up. You don't get up three or four times. Jesus made it easy for people to get saved. Jesus made it very simple for people to know how to be saved. People purposely reject the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when they hear about the gospel. You know how you, before you got saved, I put it off. I said, it's too easy to believe that. It's just too simple to believe that. My priest couldn't be lying to me. My church couldn't be lying to me for 20-some years. And just possibly, can't possibly be true, can it? I'd rather believe Jesus in my church, amen? Yeah. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 10. I mentioned this morning in the adult Bible study, after I got saved, you know, got married, had children, my children got baptized whenever they wanted to get baptized. They chose when they got baptized after they got saved. Now, I remember talking to a relative of mine. They said, Johnny, if your children don't get baptized, you're going to die and go to hell. And I pulled out my New Testament. I said, well, just show me where that's at in the Bible and I'll believe it. I said, I don't know where it's at, but that's what the priest says. It's hard for us to believe that when we grew up lighting our candles, doing what the priest told us, it's hard for us to believe that the priest would lie to us. But I'm telling you, every single priest is a liar, ladies and gentlemen. Because they want your business. They don't want you to get saved and leave their business, their money-making business. And that's what it is. It's a money-making business. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm going to show you the verse, the only verse in the Bible that a Catholic, Orthodox, and anybody else, Church of Christ, who believes in baptismal regeneration, points to as their reason why they baptize people for salvation. I'm going to show it to you right here. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 22. The Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, watch this, and our bodies washed with pure water. That's where Catholics and Orthodox and others get holy water from, you know. You get the holy water. You know what I'm talking about. You go there, you take the water, you sprinkle yourself, the priest sprinkles, and the priest takes the so-called holy water and baptizes, and so-called baptizes an infant with holy water. Well, this is where they get that from. If you think water coming out of your spigot is holy water, you got a problem. If you think pure water or clean water comes from the Hudson River, you got a problem. If you think because you can distill water, you can boil water, you think it's pure water, you got a problem, ladies and gentlemen. If you think you could take one verse like this and claim that this is how people get saved, by baptizing them in a lot of water or sprinkling them in a little tub, if you think that's how people get saved, that's contrary to every other scripture in the entire Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Because God's very clear, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And baptism is never before salvation in the Bible, it's always after salvation. Now, don't get mad at me. I used to light my candles and do what my priest told me to do. And it was hard for me to believe that my priest was lying to me about salvation. It was hard. And that was the biggest obstacle I had before I got saved. I said, I can't believe my priest would lie. I can't believe my church would lie to me. But I'd rather believe what Jesus said than a church, ladies and gentlemen. This church or any other church. Well, look what it says. And our bodies washed with pure water. That is the only verse in the entire Bible that has to do anything with our bodies being washed with pure water for salvation. And doesn't even say salvation. But it's not physical water it's talking about. I remember knocking on the door. This when I first came to Troy, 1987 or 88, I was knocking on doors. I still remember this, by Hill Street. And I'm knocking on doors, getting people saved, you know, talking to people, inviting them out to the church. We were meeting at the Boys Club downtown Troy that time. And a lady came to the church, and I was going through the Bible. And she said, oh, yeah, I'm born again. I said, that's great. When did you get born again? And she said, when I was baptized. And I said, excuse me? What? She said, yeah. When the priest baptized me, I was born again. I said, ma'am, that's not in the Bible. That's what my priest told me. I said, ma'am, that's not in the Bible. Yet people are relying on a time where they were sprinkled as a little baby. If that's the truth, if that's true, then Adolf Hitler is born again. Because he was sprinkled. The Pope said he's a good Catholic. This baptism or a Catholic baptism won't save anybody. The only thing that will save anybody is the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Anyone that teaches someone is saved because they've been baptized in physical water is teaching heresy. But every time you go to a Catholic funeral during their mass, the lying priest always says that at the baptism, so-and-so was saved and put in Christ. Nowhere in the Bible. They could have lived a heretical life. They could have lived a blasphemous life. But they always say, at any funeral you've been to at a Catholic mass, that because he was baptized, he was put into Christ. Contrary to Scripture. Being baptized has nothing to do with someone's salvation. That is what they call forcing a religion on someone else. A baby is too young to decide which religion, if any, they wish to follow. That's why Scripture teaches that salvation comes always before baptism. Never after. Baptism always comes after salvation in the Bible. No one in the Bible ever got baptized before they got saved. Everyone in the Bible got baptized after they made a public profession of the Lord Jesus Christ. False religion and heresy is only promulgated by people who are willingly ignorant of the Scriptures to keep the blind following the blind. They create a work salvation where a man tries to work his way to heaven, where a man thinks that he's not that bad, where a man thinks that he's good enough, where a man thinks he hasn't done anything bad enough to go to hell, where a man tries to buy eternity in heaven by giving and working and doing religious stuff. All those are false religions and heresies taught by either the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Repentance Crowd, baptismal regeneration like the Church of Christ, and all the anti-Christian religions like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses that don't believe that Jesus is God. That's not even mentioning, like I said, the Muslims, the Hindus, and all the others. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter number 4, please. John chapter number 4. The Gospel of John chapter number 4. The most important thing in your life is salvation. You better understand exactly what it is. You only get saved one time. You don't get saved two or three or four or five or 10 times. You can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Jesus said in John 10 that they shall never perish. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says in John 10 that Jesus has you in the palm of his hand and no man is able to pluck them out of his hand. You can't lose salvation if you have Bible salvation. John chapter number 4, verse number 13. Look at this. John 4, verse number 13. Did you ever wonder why when you went to an unsaved church, nobody brought a Bible to read? You ever think about that? Now, how many times I tell you when you come to church, you ought to bring a Bible so you can read what God says? I wouldn't even believe a preacher, a Baptist preacher. I mean, you ought to read what God says so no man can deceive you. John chapter 4, verse number 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." That's your Hudson River. Tap water comes from the Tomahanic Reservoir. 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water spring up into everlasting life." Hey, that's spiritual water that only Jesus gives, amen? You're not saved by being baptized in tap water. I don't care if it's the Taconic Reservoir or the Hudson River. I don't care where you get your water from. If it doesn't come from Jesus, it's not pure water, amen? Amen. Take your Bible, please turn to John chapter number 7. John chapter number 7. Verse number 38. Here's what Jesus said. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Amen. Oh, there you go. If you believed in Jesus Christ, guess what? God's given you the pure water from the Word of God. Because the Bible calls itself water, amen? Yeah. Are you saved? Are you born again? Hey, only Jesus gives living water. Remember the woman at the well? She said, "Give me this water so I don't die." And she was thinking about this kind of physical water. You need spiritual water so your soul, the spiritual body, can be washed with pure water from heaven to be saved. Your flesh doesn't get saved. Your physical body doesn't get saved. Souls get saved. Jesus didn't come to die for bodies. He came to die for souls. Bodies physically rot and go back to the earth and the dust from whence it came. But the soul, your soul is going to go to heaven or hell when you die. Do you have the living water? Do you have the living water that only Jesus Christ gives? Look at verse number 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he said, He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." It's pretty clear, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21. The last book in the Bible. I'd rather believe what Jesus said than a priest. Did you ever try to witness to a priest, see how quickly they turn you off? Why would any religious leader want to talk about the Bible is beyond me? Did you ever notice that? Hey, can I ask you some questions? Ask a priest, somebody that you know. I mean, I know people in my family, and I sat down with the Bible. I said, "Show me from the Bible why you do that when it's contrary to the Bible." Look at the answers they give you. Revelation chapter 21. I remember the priest got up from the table. A lot of people, we were at a party somewhere, you know, relatives were there. And after talking to him about 15, 20, 30 minutes, I forget how long it was, he stood up and says, "It's too late for Johnny, he's gone." I was just showing him from the Bible, what the Bible says. Yeah, I'd rather believe Jesus than a priest. Revelation 21, verse number 6. "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely." Hey, that's the water of life, man. Not water from your well or from your tap or from the river or from the creek or from a pond or from a lake or from a reservoir. I want the water of life. Yeah, you need water to survive physically, but you need the water of life to live eternally with Jesus Christ in heaven to save your soul, to wash your body. You need pure water. I'm talking, when the Bible says pure, I mean pure. Where do you get pure water from? Revelation 22, verse number 1. I'm glad you asked the question. Revelation 22, verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Well, there you go, amen. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Hey, that pure water, that water of life comes straight from the throne of God, comes straight from the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Not from tap water, not from a baptistry. Yes, we ought to get people baptized, and we do. And thank God people get saved, and after they get saved, they get baptized. But baptism will not save anybody. You need pure water, not Troy water. As good as it might taste, sometimes. You think with that fluoride in there is pure? You think all those chemicals and the chlorine and whatever, all the junk they put in there, you think that's pure? They got to put chemicals in there to treat it. And you drink it. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55 says, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Not physical waters, but spiritual waters. Revelation 22, verse number 17, look at it. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Freely. Hey, this is, you know, if you live in Troy, you know how expensive this water is, don't you? I mean, it's a ripoff, I think, man. I think Troy water is one of the most expensive in the area. It's a ripoff. It's good water as far as comparatively speaking. But the water of life is free. You don't have to pay for it, amen? It comes straight from Jesus Christ, amen? There's not a bill attached, amen? You don't get a monthly bill. You don't get a quarterly bill. You don't get a late fee. You don't get interest charged. You have to repent, change your mind, and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul, and he'll give you the fountain of living waters, ladies and gentlemen. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Church attendance is not being born again. Being religious is not being born again. Being good is not being born again. Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Have you been born again? Do you have that water? Because if you don't have the living water, you're going to go to a place that has no water. If you don't have the living water, you're heading for a place that has no even physical water. A place in Mark 9 where Jesus said, the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In verse 45, where he said, cast into hell into the fire that never shall be quenched. In verse 46, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In verse number 47, to be cast into hell fire. In verse number 48, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A place where in Luke chapter number 16, the rich man begged for one drop of water. You know why? Because he rejected the living water. He thought the baptismal water was going to save him. Yeah. He thought his religious work was going to save him. He thought his religious attendance and his religious life was going to save him. I don't care how long you've been religious. If you're not born again, you're on your way to hell right now, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And I know some churches may have bastardized it, and they may have perverted what being born again means, and you can lose your salvation. I know they teach heresies. But I don't care what all the churches say. Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. Have you been born again? Can you point to the time where you realize once you're on your way to hell, but you got saved, you were born again, and now you're on your way to heaven by the grace of God, amen? My Bible says in Revelation 20, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Matthew 13 says, shall be cast into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. 2 Thessalonians 1 says, you shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Revelation 14:11 says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Matthew 5:22 says, you shall be in danger of hell fire. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, you must be born again. That's the question. Have you told your dad or your mom about being born again? Have you told your son or your daughter about being born again? Your sister, your brother, your neighbor, your coworker? Have you shared the gospel with anybody? The words that Jesus said, you must be born again. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 21, 8 says, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, you read about these fires out west, California, Arizona. Sometimes they're arson. Sometimes they start because of the heat. Sometimes because they start, somebody did something negligently. And they can't put the fire out. They need water. There's no water in hell to put the fire out. Because the people in hell have rejected the only water that would have saved them. The living water, the fountain of living waters. Well, I don't need that. I'm good enough. You won't find that in the Bible anywhere. The lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15 say, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus said in Matthew 25, he said, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He said in Matthew 25, verse 46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. You can spiritualize that all you want. Jesus talked about real fire and real water, ladies and gentlemen. In Revelation 19, 20, the Bible says, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. He said in Matthew 10, 28, fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are you saved? Where are you going to go when you die? There's no such thing as reincarnation, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm going to come back as an animal. You won't get that from God. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. After you die, you're going to meet God face to face. You're going to give an account of your life. I'm telling you, everything you said, everything you've done, and everything you've ever thought of, you're going to give an account. You can laugh, you can mock, you can scoff, all you want. You can turn your ear away from it. You don't want to hear it, but you are going to die. And Jesus died in our place so that we could be saved from hell. Jesus paid the price for our sin on the cross in his own body. Jesus died in our place on the cross, and he took all the punishment in hell that we rightfully deserved. And he placed all our punishment on his body and took our pain and our punishment so that we wouldn't have to go to hell to pay for our sins. But if you reject the only hope for salvation, the living waters, the fountain of living waters, the only hope for the salvation of your soul, then you will most certainly realize, not even 5 seconds in a burning hell, that you were deceived by the devil's crowd while you were here on this earth, and you willingly and you ignorantly listened to them and followed them. I urge you, while you have breath, while you have the ability to trust Jesus Christ now, you better do it now while the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. You better trust Jesus Christ and him alone for your eternal salvation. Not a church building, not a religious work, not giving, not a baptism, not a change of life, but Jesus Christ and him alone, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for salvation that we have from the Lord Jesus Christ, the day that we ask you for salvation. I thank you, dear God. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy, to his mercy, he saved us. I thank you, dear God, that we're saved by your mercy, not by our works. I thank you, dear God, that you're willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm thankful, dear God, that anyone can be saved as long as they're breathing. My prayer is this morning that if there's anybody in this room that's not saved this morning, that today that they would trust you as their Savior. Not in some religious act, not even in a prayer, not in a baptism, but confessing that they're a sinner deserving to go to hell for all eternity to pay for their sins and not wanting to go there, and asking Jesus Christ, you alone, for mercy to save their souls from hell. I pray that'll happen today if anybody in this room is not saved. And I pray, dear God, if anyone in this room is saved and they've not been baptized after they got saved in a Baptist church, I pray they come forward this morning and get baptized. The water is ready, just like we're commanded to. But, dear God, I pray, may you please speak to hearts this morning as only you can. I've preached the best I could on the outside. I'm begging and pleading for you to speak to them on the inside and convict them of their need of salvation or their need of baptism if they're already saved. But whatever the needs are, dear God, I pray that you'll meet them this morning. And I pray, dear God, if we know a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, an acquaintance that's one breath from hell, dear God, how can we sit here? How can we sleep at night? How can we not pray? How can we not, with tears in our eyes and compassion in our voices, be concerned about their eternity? How can we not share with them the gospel just one time and tell them how much Jesus loves them and that he came and died on the cross to save their souls from hell? Oh, dear God, may we be busy before it's too late. May we be busy propagating the gospel and sharing the gospel with those who are willing to listen. Save souls today, dear God. Speak to our hearts. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is for God, you do business with God. Christians praying, please. Christians praying.